gospel on this Open Mic Friday, December the 4th, in the year of our Lord 2015. What does that mean, Open Mic Friday? It means you can take over the mic for a bit here simply by calling us with any question on your mind. In the St. Louis area, it's 821-0850. Toll free, it's 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Any theological question on your mind, I'm not promising I'll be able to answer it, but if there is an answer and I'm ignorant of it at this point, we will begin Monday's broadcast, God willing, with an answer. There are a couple of things I want to say as we begin our program today, especially in light of the San Bernardino, California, terrible murders of 14 people. There are some who are really criticizing Christians who prayed for the victims. They think that they should instead be pushing for more gun control. I want to say two things about that. First of all, a number of Christians were praying for the victims because some of the victims were tweeting out of that building to pray for us and also for our safety. So, are we to ignore that? Of course, prayer means much. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We don't know all the details in God's mind as to which people ended up dying, which ones were wounded, which ones escaped into safety. But that's not for us to figure out. God is a God of mercy and grace. And therefore, to pray to him indicates that we know that he is fully in control, especially when you have individuals who are asking us to pray for them while they are in a situation of great danger. That's the first point. The second point, it seems to me somewhat ridiculous that we should be going for stricter gun controls. If you know anything about California law, it has some of the strictest gun control laws in the country. And of course, now we're finding out, guess what? People actually got those guns legally. Now, it does appear that they had some items in their arsenal that were illegal. For example, I do believe in California you cannot have a clip with over so many bullets in it, and they did have clips like that. But the idea that in California the laws aren't strict enough, where everybody says they're the strictest laws around, we need to understand that criminals will always get guns because they're criminals. They don't obey the law. So continue to pray, particularly for those who were wounded, that they might recover and no further deaths will occur, because our God is a God that will take care of that. I have one other point I want to make, but we will go to the phone lines as promised here because it's Open Mic Friday, and we're going to start with Roger in Michigan. Hello, Roger. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Baker.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. Sometime back, you talked about a book. I believe it was on your program, reference cremation versus burial with a Lutheran perspective. Do you recall that?
No, I don't, but I do know that Dr. Schmidt, I believe his name is, wrote something about that and was kind of against the idea of cremation as a way of burial. I think it was Alvin Schmidt. You might want to phone Concordia Publishing House and see if he's written anything about that. Or you could just Google it also.
Okay.
But I'm unaware of all the arguments he uses, but I did mention it in one of my programs.
Okay. And that would be from a Lutheran perspective.
Well, I don't know. I haven't read it.
Okay.
First of all, there's very little in the Bible about cremation, being opposed to it. So I would be interested in hearing what his arguments are. We, first of all, do realize, of course, that many Christians were cremated by Nero in his garden. They used them as lamps and put them on fire. And so, therefore, many Christians have been cremated, as well as if you drown in the ocean, there will not be much left of your body because of what sea creatures will do. So I personally, at this point, am not convinced that cremation is a wrong way. In fact, the first burial I did at my church was a cremation, and I didn't hear anybody, you know, at that point arguing with it. I think his main argument would be that we're to have our bodies rise from the dead, and therefore you want to take care of your body. And that might be a good idea, but it's not necessary in case somebody would die in a fire, or look at the bodies that died on 9/11. Many of them, they couldn't even find parts of their body. So that's my opinion at this point. But as Alvin Schmidt, who was the one who's somewhat opposed to it, I think he also talked about that on Issues Etc. So you can go to issuesetc.org, and then there's a search thing, and just put down the word cremation and see what comes up.
Okay, fine. I'll check that out. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for calling, and anybody else can call. As we indicated, today is Open Mic Friday, 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area. And then anybody long distance, which also is in the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727. I began the program by reacting against those who say that prayer isn't going to work because God isn't going to fix this. Well, obviously, these are people who don't believe in the true God. Because for Christians, nothing happens to you that God isn't working out to your good. That's something that we take by faith, because we often don't have the evidence for that. Because when we think of good and bad, we think good is something that's positive happening in our life. Bad is something that is negative. But the very fact that the goodest day of the entire world is called Good Friday, when God himself died on the cross, shows that out of suffering and pain and even death, great good can come. In fact, it even says, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus went the way of the cross, despising the shame, because he knew that many people's sins were going to be forgiven. There was one other point that kind of struck me, which was very interesting. One of the commentators on a television station that is very, very liberal. In fact, one would say that all of the hosts there are pro-abortion. That this one commentator was shocked that a woman was involved in the killing of these people. And what really struck her is this woman had a child, a very young child. And according to reports, they left the child with the grandmother. And then they went out to shoot people. Now, this commentator was giving the idea that she knew she was going to die, which I don't agree with, because they had a lot more ammunition than was needed just for that one spot. And so I'm quite confident they had other places that they might be going to. But regardless of that, she said, how could she leave her little child with her grandmother with the idea that she may not return? What kind of woman does that? And I'm listening to this, and it shows me once more how blind Satan has made people. We have women in the United States of America who have no problem in killing their child before it is born. that this woman took her child, and even if she thought she was going to die, she didn't put to death her child. She gave it to her grandmother. Now, what she did, what followed in killing those people was horrendous. But the fact of the matter is, I can't understand how someone is pro-abortion, how they get shocked when a woman leaves her child with her grandmother, when we have many women in this country, just take a look at the abortion count, who have no problem in putting to death their child. And this is part of the reason why the pro-life movement is gaining steam, because medical procedures have shown us that these are human beings in the womb. That this, therefore, for a mother to go ahead and, you know, kill her child is just atrocious. And this is why many women who do have abortions years later begin to feel the guilt of what they have done. And this is where the church needs to come in to help these women. It's a sad situation. There's no doubt about it. But it's something that I was just really surprised to hear them lamenting this woman who leaves her child with her grandmother, and therefore they are for the putting to death of many children in the womb because they just get in the way. Our numbers here are 821-0850. Toll free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. I want to ask you about the word grace in the Scripture. Sometimes it seems to me like it is talking like grace is God, and then other times like it's a gift. And I really am confused on the word grace. If you would explain it better to me than what my, well, immature mind.
Yes. Well, let me ask you a question before you hang up.
Sure.
If people were going to describe you, would you think that sometimes they would describe you as being gracious?
Some of them, yes.
Yes. And what would that mean if they said that Marilyn is a gracious person?
That perhaps that she does give to those who perhaps need some help or need some love.
Oh, boy, have you hit that on the head. Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 2. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, boy, we needed help. God made us alive together. By grace, you have been saved. Now, what that refers to is God's attitude towards you, Marilyn. He is not a God of justice in the sense of giving Marilyn or Pastor Tom Baker what we deserve, temporal and eternal punishment. He's a God of grace who gives you what you don't deserve, the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and many promises. So when you think of God's grace, think of his attitude towards you, as sometimes you have that attitude towards others who have a need. Is that helpful?
Oh, God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much, Pastor.
And God bless you. Thank you so much for calling. And anybody else can call. The numbers are 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. I just heard an excellent hour on Issues Etc. recently with Ken Shurb as the guest. And he was talking about Martin Luther at the time of the Reformation in 1517. And he made a couple of points that were very helpful to me. And it fits right in with Marilyn's question, is that he was saying that when Luther wrote his 95 theses, guess what? He still hadn't broken away totally from Roman Catholic theology. There were two things he was still working on. The first was the alien righteousness that we receive to make us righteous in the sight of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, think about the word alien. If I said aliens have landed on Earth, what are you going to think about right away? Well, most of you might think of Martians or something like that, but people from outer space. An alien is someone who doesn't really belong on Earth. Earth is not their home. Well, alien righteousness means you are righteous in God's sight, not because of your own obedience, not because you have become righteous, not because you made a decision never to sin again, because as an unbeliever, nobody can do that. What happened is Jesus was totally obedient to the Father while he was on earth. Now, he already was righteous because he was God, but he has this other active righteousness we talk about, or active obedience, where he was totally obedient to the will of the Father, never sinned once while he was on earth. Now, as part of the gift of salvation, God gives us his righteousness, namely that obedience that Jesus did here on earth. So on Judgment Day, we will be wearing a robe of righteousness. And if you remember the prodigal son, it's the best robe, which meant it was the robe of the Father. And the Father in the prodigal son is none other than Jesus himself. You're wearing, as a believer, the robe of righteousness, which you got through faith. And what is faith? Not believing there's a God, but believing that Jesus is the true God, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. This trust in the promises of the gospel, namely the benefits you receive because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's that alien righteousness that comes to you. Now, the other problem that Luther still was somewhat concerned about and not really totally understanding, he had, and here I'm dropping back to Marilyn's question about grace, he had a view that the way we were saved is that grace was infused into us. Now, what that means is that God gave us a power that only comes from God that permits us to do good works in God's sight. And the more we do, then God rewards us with more grace until we get to the point where we are saved. Now, this is really important because I have never met a Roman Catholic yet. If you ask them this question, were you to die today, would you go straight to heaven? I've never met a Roman Catholic who says yes to that. Why? Because of this view of infused grace, they believe that they really have not had the temporal consequences of their sins paid for. Like, for instance, you go over the speed limit. Well, maybe you'll end up paying for it if a policeman pulls you over and gives you a ticket. But if he doesn't, oh, guess what? There's an area for which you have not yet paid. Now, this is not a payment for sins. It's a payment for temporal consequences. So every Roman Catholic I met, and I knew a lot of them, my grandmother, I had a lot of friends in my neighborhood, they all believed that they would first go to purgatory, not heaven. Now, nobody goes to purgatory who's not going to heaven, but in my day, when my grandmother would take me to the Roman Catholic worship service when I was staying with her, they would hand out little cards with how many years you would have to spend in purgatory in light of certain bad things you had done here on earth. Now, as far as I know, that's not really the official position of the Roman Catholic Church, where they will tell you how many years anymore. And purgatory has turned into something that is not near as fearful of as it was in the day of Luther. But there was this view that God saved you by infusing you with grace. For example, have you ever had a flu shot? You could say, therefore, that shot infused you with protection, hopefully against flu, unless it was a different variety that you got than the flu shot had been made for. Well, we soon found out, Luther did, that there was no such thing as infused grace, whereby we could help save ourselves. That this instead was grace of God's personality toward us. He is both merciful, that means he does not give you what you deserve, and he is gracious towards you, and that means he gives you what you do not deserve. And of course, what you don't deserve is the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, the promises that all things are going to work together for your good. And that's a very, very important point that we need to keep in mind. So, if you got a question or a comment on any of this, don't hesitate to call me at 821-0850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. And I see a call up there. I'm not sure I'm supposed to take it or not. Maybe I am. Let's just go see who it is. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. You're on the air. Who's this? Oh, nobody answering. Okay, so must be something else. All righty. One of the things we do want to stress here on Law and Gospel is nobody gets saved by obedience to the law. You see, that's what infused grace would mean. And I can understand why Marilyn gets confused, because a lot of times the word grace seems to be talking about a power source. But Professor Nagel, one of my best professors I ever had, who, by the way, went into surgery yesterday, and I haven't heard any results of that, so we keep him in our prayers. But I remember he was doing an hour with Don Matzit years ago, and they were talking about what grace is. And I remember Don Matzit asked him the question, well, how would you define grace? And Dr. Nagel has a real interesting way of replying. He kind of looks up in the air, and he may look out the window if he's in the classroom, and then he turned to Don and he said, Jesus. And stopped. And poor Don Matzit, he had another 50 minutes to go in the interview, and he was wondering, is there nothing more? And Dr. Nagel looked at him and said, no, it's about Jesus. Well, Don was an excellent interviewer, as is Todd Wilkin, and he was able to get a lot more from Nagel. But here was the final point. He said, every time you see the word, like he would use faith, just think of Jesus. In fact, that was the word they were talking about, not grace, but faith. But the reason I bring it up is one of the most famous passages really makes sense. And that's what I just read to Marilyn. Chapter 2, verse 8 of Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through, well, here we go, faith. Well, you change that to Jesus. And that was really quite an interesting, I know Mark Smith says I use the word interesting too much, but that just is interesting. That try that with other passages. Now, what you can do is you can look up the word faith in the scripture with a concordance. A concordance is simply a book that takes a look at every word in the Bible. And as you go through all these words, guess what you're going to discover? Faith in Jesus. Yes, it works. So we believe that by God's gracious attitude towards you, you have been saved through Jesus. And that salvation comes through faith, namely in believing the wonderful message. Now, I'm excited about this coming Sunday. As you well know, I go to congregations all over the country, And it's not often, though, that I have the privilege of doing an infant baptism. But we will be doing that. Yes, we're going to be going to Rosebud, Illinois. I'm sorry, Rosebud, Missouri. I keep getting these mixed up. There's a Redbud, Illinois. I'm not going there. I'm going to Rosebud. And the Bible studies at 8:45. The worship service is at 10 o'clock with a baptism. So if you're in the Rosebud area, don't hesitate to show up there, and we'll be glad to. It's the only Lutheran church in Rosebud. You just stay on Highway 50, I believe it is, and you go straight through town, and you'll see a steeple. That's the church where we're going to be. And we'll be back on Monday, where we're going to be talking about how did Jesus show that he was the Messiah. Till then, God bless.
Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.